The title of tonight's is called Limiting God Through Self-Effort. Limiting God Through Self-Effort. And let's see, where should we, what would be a good place to start? What about John? How about 14? By the time, I tell you, when Dave was taking us down the Born Again Trail, our Bibles just, you know, they just fall open to Romans 8 because we were in it for so long. Well, that's kind of the way it's going to be now in John 14, 15, 16, I think. I got to keep it real short tonight on any review. Just get our mind going down this path. All right, again, Jesus was about to leave the planet. The 12 had been following him for 3.5 years, getting all their instructions straight from his mouth to their ear. I used to be so jealous of them. I said, that is just not fair. I mean, you know, how fair is that? I mean, they didn't have to question. They didn't have to doubt. They didn't have to wonder, am I following his instructions or not? Am I really in, have I found his path or not? They got to hear it directly, and it didn't seem fair to me until through meditation, assimilation, and prayer, the Lord began opening up these passages here, John 14, 15, and 16, and I really began to understand what a major portion of the Holy Spirit's ministry to us is. We have no excuses. I'm telling you right now, if you think you're going to stand there on that day, and he'll say, why didn't you, first off, find my plan for your life, and why didn't you walk in my plan for your life, we're not going to have any excuses, especially those of us that have been going to this church. Because it's not like we've been, like Dave has withheld from us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have been taught line upon line, precept upon precept, about how the Holy Spirit has been sent by God to bring the lordship, or let me say it this way, bring the leadership of Jesus Christ to each and every one of us individually, just as if you yourself were walking side by side with the Lord. Now, you don't get his instructions from his mouth to your ear in the same way. They're delivered now spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit's with him in heaven. He knows exactly everything that's said. Here in John 14, Jesus said, verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. Well, they're thinking, how? What do you mean you're going to come to us? You just got through telling us you're leaving. How are you going to come to us? Well, he didn't physically come back to walk with each and every one of them through the rest of their life. No. He said it's through this comforter. So going over to John 16. When he says, I will not leave you comfortless. You know by now that means I will not leave you as orphans to have to find your own way. You're going to have my direction, but it's going to come by this Holy Spirit. So in 16, he says, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. That is so important. I got to tell you, too, I had never heard anybody teach the truth about that statement right there. I got that from the Holy Ghost, and to this day I've never heard anybody else teach it. But that is so vitally important, because you got to understand the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus, to magnify Jesus. We are not going to exalt the Holy Spirit above the Lord. Jesus is the head of the church. Nobody else is the head of the church. But the Holy Spirit has been, or he has voluntarily taken the assignment. He is here to bring us the lordship of Jesus. So you could say it this way, Peter, James, and John. No, you won't be hearing my instructions from my mouth to your physical ear anymore. But the Holy Spirit is going to be with you all the time, all the time. Everywhere you go. He never sleeps. He never goes on vacation. He's not skittish like they tell you, you know. You know, every little time you stumble and miss it, you don't hear the flutter of wings as he flies off. He is gentle, though, and long-suffering and patient, and he'll be with you. He'll see you at your worst, and he's still going to be with you. Like Dave says, you know, God will walk through hell with you. As long as, you know, stumbling and falling the whole way. Y'all saw me at the end of the service. Some of you were still here. You know, we let the baby go free. You know, Lily, who's a year old this month, boy, she can toddle. Little legs aren't that long, but she can move. That girl can motor. She got a motor in her. Man, here she goes, toddle, toddle, toddle. And I'm right behind her. And about every 10 steps, she falls again. And it's okay. She needs, it's not, it, the best thing I can do is let her fall and let her get up. Mm-hmm. Let her fall, let her get up. Mm-hmm. But boy, I was thinking to myself, here I am walking real close behind, just a step or two behind. I'm not going to let anything serious happen to her. And I'm also not going to let her interfere with the prayer line that was going on. Okay? But I was thinking, how like the Holy Spirit is that? Mm-hmm. Now, she's just having a good time, just toddling and everything, just having a good time. You know, it, she's not, she may have been aware I was right behind her. I don't know if she was or not. But I thought, how like the Holy Spirit that is. Mm-hmm. We're toddling along, stumbling. He lets us fall, lets us get up, stumble again, makes us stronger. But boy, as long as we're, as we'll call on Him, be aware of Him, I mean, He is there with that power. He can lift us up out of any situation at a moment's notice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But for us toddling along trying to find the direction of the Lord, let's get ourselves a little older now. I'm 60 and I'm sure in the Lord's... I'm 61, aren't I, babe? I'm 61. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I sure don't... I have to find out by records because I don't feel that way. I feel about 33, glory to God. But here I am toddling along at 61, you know, and I mean, to him I'm going, isn't he cute? Look at that Gary toddle along there. He's trying to walk up. He stumbled again. Well, I'll let him get up. Okay. But see, as long as I pray and I'm not going to get seriously off track as long as I keep turning to him. And I mean, he can pick me up in a moment's notice and get me turned around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, anyway, that image is a lot like our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But really, it's Jesus who is our Lord. If in Acts 16, when the Holy Ghost forbade them to go into Asia at that time, you know, later on they did go to Asia. Ephesus was in Asia. They built a mighty church at a later time. But the reason the Holy Ghost forbade it right then, it wasn't the mind of Christ. That they had not yet picked. It was the mind of Christ for them to go to Macedonia, and that's where they wound up going. Anyway, you've heard all of that. Well, anyway, getting back into this. John 16:13 again. It says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. In other words, He's not going to speak on His own authority. You've never yet heard anything truly from the Holy Spirit that didn't originate in the mind of Christ. Let me say it that way. Okay? But whatsoever He shall hear. Hear where? What's He talking about? Whatsoever He shall hear. He hears it in the throne room. He hears it from the mind of Christ. He hears it. I don't know whether Jesus and the Father have discussions. I don't know. But He hears it there. Whatever He hears it from the mind of Christ. He speaks it unto us. And He'll show us things to come. Well, we've been teaching, revisiting the face-to-face documents 10 years later. And trying to help y'all get some... trying to save you 10 years on some things, you know, trying to give you, you know, wouldn't it be nice to leapfrog over a lot of those hurdles? So you're not standing up teaching another group saying, here's how not to waste 10 years. And it's not been wasted, but it just, you learn things. We didn't have any, no one taught these things. You know, we're learning these things, and so we're trying to give you a booster, if you will, give you a, you know, leapfrog message. Maybe we'll have a series called How to Leapfrog 10 Years. But I don't know, something like that. But in one of the recent ones that we did, we were talking about, this one was the one called Becoming Aware of His Presence. And I believe on the last service I did with you, I emphasized this part. So let me read, this is Becoming Aware of His Presence, F980817. You can get it at the website, in audio or written. And he says, this paragraph starts off and says, know and understand that I'm not angry with you because of your seeming lack of confidence that you're truly hearing my voice and not your own thoughts. Can anyone register with that? You know, I mean, I warred with that and warred with it. To be honest, I still war with it to this day to some degree. Is that my idea? Is that God's idea? He says, I'm not upset or angry with you because you're still battling that. He says, I know better than you how new and strange and unusual this fellowship is right now to you. He says, rather than being angry, on the contrary, I'm greatly pleased to see that you persevere to become expert at hearing my voice and receiving my counsel. There is no other way. What he means is, as far as the Lord's concerned, there is another way. You just do your best your whole life. Do the things, whatever comes available to do, you do it. And the Lord will bless that. I could have pastored a church my whole life. The Lord would have blessed it. He would have done everything possible to get me out of it, probably. But I mean, if I'd have said, no, that's what we're going to do. I'm sure that's it. I'm called, Sue. You know, we're going to pastor a church. Well, the Lord would have blessed that, but that's still not His path. It was not His plan. It never was His plan. I'm sure at this point Sue is saying something like, "Thank you, Jesus, that we did not pastor a church. Thank you, Jesus." Something like that. No. Well, I'm glad too. See, but as far as the Lord's concerned, there's, yes, sir. Here we come again. There is no excuse. Not for us. Not you're at the wrong church to have that excuse. Well, I never found out what it was you called me to do. He says, "What are you saying? My Holy Spirit didn't know the plan?" No, I'm not saying that exactly. Are you saying He refused to tell you what I instructed Him? No, I'm not saying that exactly either. You understand? You see, he says there is no other path, or there is no other way. There is no other path. You shall become. If we're going to walk His path, that's what He's saying. You're going to find it out by the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to find it. See, and I'm so glad too. I mentioned today that I'm so glad I found out I wasn't called to pastor a church, because without doubt, that's what I would have wound up doing. I just have no doubt that's what it would have been. You know, but I'm also glad I didn't have to guess what my calling, what my function in the body is. I almost mailed off for one of those books that's advertised by a minister on national TV, where you can find out your calling. Have you all seen that book? You know, you order it, and it's full of these questions, and it's kind of like a personality profile. And it's asking you all these questions. Well, how do you react when this happens? You know, ABC, okay? What happens when, you know, how do you respond when this thing occurs? ABC. At the end of it, you total them all up. You look at it and say, "Well, who knew? I'm a prophet." That is not God's way. How do you find out what you are? He tells you what you are. You know, He's alive and well. You don't have to guess. He tells you what you are. So anyway, He says, "As I've already spoken to you, my voice shall become the easiest voice heard, no matter how great the tumult around you. Continue, my son, in these times of fellowship." Now, here's where we ended, I think, Wednesday night. "But as your counselor, I say, let no days pass where we do not commune in heart, where we do not commune in spirit, and where we do not commune in soul." Well, and I bared my soul to you, and I said, "Well, not only have I let days pass, I have let weeks and months pass." And usually, it can be because of strongholds. You know, that's one reason that can happen. You've come up against something that He wants you to deal with in your life, and you just really don't want to deal with it. That is one way that you can drop out of prayer, drop out of fellowship. That really wasn't, I mean, it's happened a few times, but that's not the main thing with me. I'll just tell you right now, I'm a workaholic. I really am. And so I just get busy working in the ministry, and I justify it. Well, this has got to be done. When I say in the ministry, I just mean mundane things, you know, whether in the early days, running the tape machines, going to get bubble mailers, just the mechanical work of the stuff when we didn't have much help. I just get real busy doing that stuff, and that would alleviate. See, that there is a sense of accomplishment with that. There's a sense of accomplishment that comes, and so my guilt, it would override my guilt way down. I knew I didn't spend time with Him that day. But I was busy for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look at that here in a minute. Because in the next two paragraphs, now He warned me, and of course we're limited on time tonight. You'll probably get a longer dose of this Wednesday. Is this okay though? I mean, all right. He says, the next paragraph says, "As your counselor, it is needful that I say to you once more, put first and place the highest priority, seeking the path to the next clearing." Now those of you that's been listening, what was the next clearing? He wanted Sue and I to begin operating more fully in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, this was back in 1998, and we weren't operating in them very much at that time, a little bit. Got to be a whole lot more. And what did he say was the most needful thing to get me to that clearing? You remember? He said, the most needful thing is become constantly aware that I'm with you. And he gave me precise instruction, even if you have to play like a game, like Jimmy Stewart did with Harvey the Rabbit in that old movie, if you remember that. You know, you start, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go get the mail. Here's that. Let me clean a seat off, space off for you here on the front seat. You can sit here. You want to go with me to get the mail? Okay. Are you going with me anyway? Okay, well, all right, now I'm aware of it. You know, and it is like a game. Well, anyway, I would try that. He said again and again, that's the most important thing in my life. But then carnal pressure would come. What I mean, I don't mean sin pressure. I mean pressure. We'd get behind on stuff. I'm over here spending hours praying and trying to, you know, playing this game, what seemed like a game. The Holy Spirit is with me. Hello, Holy Spirit. How you doing? What you doing? What are we going to do today? No, it was just as silly as you think. I mean, it just seems so silly. You know, I wish I could tell you that the two-way communication was so all the time that it wasn't. But I was trying to break into these things. And I'm telling you, it was difficult. So I'm doing all that. It seems silly to me anyway. And then, the more I'm doing, we didn't have lots of help in those days. And the more I did that, the further behind we was getting. What's that old deal my mom used to say? The hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Okay? All right? That's the way it felt. So then I'd say, okay, I can't do this. I got to go work on this stuff. And Sue knows me. I'll put in a good, you know, when I really got a project to do, I'll put in a 16, 18 hour day and feel good about it. I mean, there's something in me that I like that. I like to be real busy. Well, he said, I see now why he kept warning me. He knows how I am better than I know. He says, as your counselor, it is needful that I say to you once more, put first and place the highest priority seeking the path to the next clearing. The carnal pressure, the natural pressure, causes your mind to turn to the administration of the ministry. All that really means is working, doing the stuff, the natural things. He says the carnal pressure causes you to meditate on those things rather than the things he has called you to do. What had he called me to do? Play the stupid game. I mean, play the silly game. It seemed stupid to me now. It did. I said, oh God, now I've become Jimmy Stewart and I'm talking to Harvey the Rabbit. Oh God, now I have invisible friends. You know, people would think I'm crazy, you know. And I'd do it for a while, but it just seemed... Then I could go over and be doing all this work for the gospel, see? Okay? All right. He says, as you continue to put His path first in your life, and now His path is what I just described, which is what I've already shown you. He said that, the Holy Spirit said, that is what releases me more than anything else to bring all of the natural things into order. It is as you seek first His kingdom, the things that He has called you to do, where that alone is the number one desire of your heart, and that is where you focus your energies, then you release me, that's the Holy Spirit, to bring everything necessary to cause His plan for your life to come to pass. And that would include the administration of the ministry. Now, I want to get into this one part here tonight. Let's see. He says it again, though. I want you to see how he keeps saying it. At the time, I thought, I wonder why he keeps saying this. 10 years later, I know why he kept saying this. Okay? Here he says it in another way. The number one thing you can do. Phrasing it again. The number one thing you can do right now in order to seek the next clearing is to practice being aware of my presence all the time. This may seem like a game to you, but it is of the highest order of reality. It is not frivolous nor non-productive. Now, I highlighted this four words. The most productive thing. How would y'all like it if the Holy Spirit would come to you and says, I'm about to tell you the most important thing that you can do in your life right now to leapfrog you 10 years. Would you be paying attention? Would you have your notepads out? Would you be ready for that? Here's what he said. The most productive thing in your life right now is to become constantly aware that I am with you. Man, play this silly game. In every situation, in every circumstance, all through the day, every day, practice being aware that I'm with you. And he goes on about instruction. Speak with me as though I'm there, for I truly am. And, you know, so forth and so on. Now, December of 2001, I was making some Gary notes. Y'all ever make notes to yourself? Note to self. And I wrote this little lesson because we'd had 98, 2000, 2001. Here we're quite a ways down the road. Things have been growing by leaps and bounds. Our mailing list during those years was just expanding by the hundreds and hundreds. I didn't have time to look up. I don't remember if we were yet had been to Sid Roth's. I think we had been at that point. So our mailing list was getting big. The carnal pressure, the reason I'm saying that, was not getting less. It was getting more. All the time, more. More, more, more. So anyway, I'm praying. I'm still dealing. Now, I had worked, don't think I hadn't worked on it at all. I had worked on it. There would be times that I'd take whole days and do, well, not whole days. I intended to take a whole day and do nothing but play the silly game. I'm saying it that way on purpose because that's the way it seemed to me. Play the silly game. And I'd make it 2 or 3, 4 hours, and then usually the carnal pressure at that point would win out and I'd go do something else, okay? But it's not like I never did it. I did do it, all right? But I obviously didn't do it to the point that he was real pleased with it. Well, anyway, this was a... I had an epiphany. You know what epiphany is? I had a revelation. It says, it dawned on me, and I titled this little lesson, Limiting God Through Self-Effort. It's so important. I get this. It says, another way I am limiting God is through trying to do too much of the physical work myself in the ministry. Right now, by all appearances, it seems we are all strained to the limit physically, emotionally, and financially. Now, I'm talking about myself, Sue. I believe Aaron was working for us at this point. I'm not sure yet if Amanda was on board or not. But anyway, it was at least me, Sue, and Aaron. We were working ourselves to a frazzle, trying to get everything done and do it all for free. Okay? You think, I know y'all hear that and you think you know. See, we were financially, are you kidding? I don't know how to tell you. When everything in the natural, you're not sure where the next meal is going to come from. You're really not sure, okay? And he says, I want you to send out 2,000 free tapes this week. And you're going, what? Have you seen our checkbook? Have you seen the finances? And, you know, I never hear him answer back on that, but I know the answer is, I see everything. We were drained physically, plus then the living room would just be full of, like I said, you know, bubble mailers and tapes and ring binders. I think by this point we did have, we were past the ring binder thing. Glory to God. We had computers and we were printers, were able to print labels. That was a great day. But still, it was a lot. So I'm just making these notes, and I've said, right now, by all appearances, it seems we are strained to the limit physically, emotionally, and financially to accomplish all of the data processing, the printing, the duplicating, and the mailing of the tapes. I find my mind wandering again, asking, have I missed it? Am I trying to do too much for too many people? Perhaps God did not want me sending out this many free tapes. And then I had an epiphany. Uh-oh. What if God not only wants to send in this many tapes out, but maybe 1,000 times more? Multiply what we're doing by 1,000. Which in a way he did, but he did it through the internet. I didn't know that then. Okay? Well, then what? I'm just making notes to myself. What if I say, Lord, did I miss it? He says, no, you didn't miss it, but I want you to increase what you're doing by 1,000. Well, then what? Can we do the work ourselves physically? Are there enough hours in the day? The answer would be no. We were already working ourselves to a frazzle. I must not make decisions based on preconceived notions, nor on apparent circumstances. I must find the time to yield my spirit and my soul to the Holy Spirit in order to understand the mind of the living Christ in these matters and to learn His plan for accomplishing the work. I must not limit God through my own self-efforts. I can only do so much. There is a plan, and there are resources already made available to accomplish that plan. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you know one of the names of the God you serve? He is the God who answers before you call. See, Sue and I are the grandparents that answers before Lily calls or before Cole calls. We anticipate what they need. We have it stored up ahead of time. So when she knows they're coming to the house, there's a trip to the grocery store. Sue is the grandmother who answers before they call. There will be cookies. There will be ice cream. There will be the things that they're going to call for. Well, God is like that. And guess what? It's already all been paid for. The price that Jesus paid, it's already been paid for, and it's already laid up. That is so real to us. If I didn't believe that, I don't know what we'd do. That everything we need has already been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus. And our Father already has it stored up for us, just like we have the cookies in the fridge for the grandkids. Amen? Okay. I said again, there is a plan, and there are resources already made available to accomplish that plan. My job is to find it through prayer, and then obey the instructions I receive that release the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the plan. I must apprehend that for which Jesus apprehended me. And here we go again. I don't want to spend my whole life doing good things for the Lord, but never find out the God thing that He ordained for Gary to do. I don't want to stand before Him that day and say, "Well, I see you did a lot of work for me, but I wish you'd have done what I called you to do." I want to apprehend that for which He apprehended me, and you do too. Well, at that time, I says, I'm reminded of the prophecy that came through Pastor Dave back in May 24th of 1995, and I can tell you what the old tape is. It was at that time it was numbered R434, Death Here for His Glory There. That was a series of messages that Pastor Dave did about gospel entrepreneurs. And big part of those messages, prophecy after prophecy would come, just like it does now when Dave is teaching, over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit would say things like, "Now you gospel," and now gospel entrepreneurs are people that actually go into business or investing. They're actually got to go out into the world where the sharks swim. Yeah. Like the way Dave says, if you're going to go swim with the sharks, you better fly with the dove first. Okay? Yeah. You better spend the time with the Holy Ghost, you know, before you get out there and try and swim with the sharks. Okay? So those prophecies again and again would say things, the same kind of things. It's more important that you spend time with the Holy Ghost. You know, you might spend 80% of your time with the Holy Ghost and only 20% actually doing those things out there in the natural. But yet, it seems like when you're spending that time praying in tongues and meditating the Word, that seems, from the world's point of view or the natural way of thinking, that seems very unproductive when it comes to like business. So here's the prophecy that came forth. See, and the thing of it is, how I knew this lesson was for tonight, Sue knows, I was in prayer for a while this afternoon. Now, I named my bed prayer, the reason it was mostly, you know, that way if somebody calls and says, "Can I talk to Gary?" Sue can honestly say, "No, Gary is in prayer." But I was in prayer for a couple of hours, you know. But I get up like I always do, and I start listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit after I start drinking the Starbucks coffee that Sue had made. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I heard this prophecy in my spirit. I've got these in me. I not only have the Scriptures in me where He can talk with me, but hey, His Word comes by the written to our generation, and it comes by His voice to our generation. And I've meditated on those long enough. I mean, the prophet, I have them in me almost like Scripture. thank God we have computers now where I can search and find them real quickly, because I don't know exactly where they would be. But I began hearing certain parts of this prophecy I'm about to read to you. And so I just did a computer search and found it, and here it was. What a day we live in, Daisy. So here's that word. Now this, at the time, was talking about gospel entrepreneurs. But I'm telling you, after 10 years, this right here applies to you. I don't care, you know, what you've been called to do. So the Holy Spirit said, you are saving time. You are saving time by ministering much time to the Holy Ghost. Not losing it. You are saving it. And it will result in much more fruit for the kingdom than if you had wasted the time. For under certain anointings and energy of the flesh, only so much can be accomplished, no matter how much you give yourself to it. Did you hear that? The only thing is that in the natural, you feel like you are accomplishing more. But you are not. By those methods, you are losing time, not saving it. And that's the end of the prophecy. Let me save you about 10 years. As I look back on it, now I have no idea all the things that have not been accomplished during this time that would have been accomplished if I'd have done more of the silly game. And it's not, I keep saying that respectfully. I'm trying to make you understand. This is what my soul thinks it is, and it still thinks it is to this day. Okay? That silly game. But yet it's the most productive thing I can do. Later on in these face-to-face, at one point he says this. He says, the Holy Spirit says, I can accomplish more in a single day for the kingdom than you yourself could accomplish in many lifetimes. See, Sue knows that I kept getting that instruction at early on years ago. The tape ministry was just growing and growing and growing. And I kept getting that instruction. I kept seeing it digitized. I kept seeing it somehow on the internet. At that time, we didn't know anything. We didn't know how to do it. We didn't know anybody who knew how to do it. How to take those cassette tapes and get them into some kind of digital file. Then once we did that, you know, what format? And you know, it was such a deal. We had to learn how to do that step by step by step. But as I would pray, I'd pray enough with Him. I'd get enough of His mind. I knew that was the plan. I knew somehow we had to do that. And we eventually, we got it all done. It took a couple of years. I had to come off the road. Big part of... Well, yes, sir. Okay. I did come off the road for about 2 years to do that. But if I'm hearing Him correctly at this moment, that was like plan B. Because I tend to want to do it all myself. I get that from my earthly father. I grew up with this motto. He says, I wish... Now, we had a construction business, and I can't tell you... I'm going to clean it up a little. How my dad would say this. But he'd say, you know, and we didn't have, you know, it wasn't a big business at all. It was a little contracting business. We did concrete work. We'd run two or three crews in the summertime, and so we may have... At the height of the summer, if we ran three crews, five man to a crew, we might have about 15 employees. Okay, so it's not like a vast thing, but still, yet my dad is a perfectionist to the 10th power, and plus he is one of the creeds was this: there is a right way to do things, there is a wrong way to do things, and there is the O.R. Carpenter way to do things. And bless God, around here we're going to do it the O.R. Carpenter way. And when he'd say it, my dad, it was very intimidating in those days. Now, he broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. You did not want to give O.R. no lip. You hear me? Well, I kind of grew up under that kind of thing. And boy, no matter how hard you tried, you didn't get many attaboys. It wasn't just me. Nobody got them. Now, everybody liked my dad. They liked doing business with Dad because he was honest. He would, whatever he said to you, that's exactly the way it was going to be. He didn't really have to have a written contract on our end, because my dad was going to do what we said. Okay, But right on the other hand, he was a pretty hard taskmaster. So the motto went out like this. Everybody said it kind of jokingly. Now, they liked Dad, okay? But they'd say, one thing about that O.R. Carpenter, he treats all of his men the same. Like dogs. Well, he'd work you so hard. I mean, you know, just work. I told you about the times my elbows would lock up, and he'd say, go bang your elbows against a tree. I'm not making that stuff up until it get unlocked. We got to finish this concrete, you know, and stuff like that. And nobody could ever do it as good as he could. Now, here's the thing. They really couldn't. My dad was the most superb craftsman in that field that I've ever seen. And I don't care how good you got at it, you're never going to be as good as him. He was like the Rembrandt of that, and nobody else could do it. Well, that also means, though, you never did it good enough. No matter how good you did it, you never did it good enough. There wasn't any attaboys, okay? Now, I'm saying that to say this, because he would have he'd look at it and he'd go, I just wish there was some way that I could do this whole thing, just me and a machine. No people. Because none of them do it right. It's just me and a machine, that would be the best. I'd just do it all myself. I find those tendencies in me. You know, some of the things are passed on to the son. And I have those tendencies in me. I just would rather do it myself. I don't mind working. I don't mind doing it. I just rather do it myself. And I have to fight that. Because especially from that day forward, I got better. I started letting other people do some editing. I started I'm still doing better at it today. Amanda's now editing the tapes. Guess who did them all? For years. Moi did them all. Now Amanda's editing them. I'm little by little. But see, if I don't let him do those kind of things, I'm going to limit what he does in the earth. And I think I've just now heard him for the first time say it probably really wasn't necessary that I come off the road for 2 years to get that project done. But it was like, okay, plan B. Because he just knows it never would have happened if I hadn't been there to keep my thumb right on everything that was happening. Maybe so. I've just heard that myself. I'll find out more later. You may or may not find out more later about it. Depends on what he tells me. But see, even I don't know if it's 1,000 times or not. It might be, though. When I look back at how many tapes we were sending, working ourselves to the nubbins, trying to send out those pitifully few amount of... I mean, it wasn't pitifully few. It was thousands of tapes a month we were sending out. But I look at it now, every now and then, you know, and it's hard for me to tell because the messages are on ICTA's website. They're on our website. So I don't know how many are listened to there versus ours. But even just at our website, there's a few times that I've checked. Now, not every day, and not every message, but there's a few. I remember one day I checked, and one message had been downloaded or listened to, over 900 times. Well, we've got 400 messages, roughly, at the website. 400 of them, you know. If an average, I don't know, if 200 a day are listened to, and it's in 10 different countries, which is probably a lot more than that, you know, it's kind of hard to preach 10 messages a day. No, 200 messages a day in 10 different countries. That's kind of hard to do. You need the multiplying power, you know. Now, these are all still natural things. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These are all natural things. We haven't even hardly yet got into the supernatural things. But he's telling me now, we'll talk about that for a few minutes. So one way you really limit him, even in natural things, if you're trying to do it all yourself, the title is perfect. You're going to wind up limiting God through your own self-effort. Going to have to back up. Later on in the face-to-face, he'll start talking about how through my own natural thinking, he gave me a picture one time of what my life was like. Boy, was this true. There were like these big boulders, 5 or 6 of them. And I had a rope tied around my waist that went to each boulder. And the boulders are all around me. They're big ones. In this picture, in this vision, I couldn't move in any direction. If I try to go to the left, there's a rope holding me back to the right. If I try to go to the right, there's a rope holding me back to the left. Everywhere I try to move, you ever feel stuck? Ever feel like, how did I get here? And how do I get out? I can't get out of where I am. And he told me, he said, those ropes are all of your own making. Your own mind and your own thinking has got you in this position. He says, if you'll let me, I'll start cutting the ropes. I'll loose you from those things where you can be free to do what the Master wants. And the boulders are not going to be removed. In other words, the ministry, the things I had tied myself to, they're still going to be there. But I'm going to show you how to do it without limiting you like being tied to those ropes. We'll get there. Y'all looking forward to that?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, he has too. Yes, sir. Now, we've got about 4 minutes left. Let me give you this part. There's more than one way. We're talking pretty much tonight about natural ways that you limit him through self-effort. But see, if we don't learn to look to him in everything, if Sue, 2 years ago roughly now, maybe 2.5 years ago, if she hadn't come up to me and said, respectfully but firmly, if you don't change what you're saying, and what she was talking about was, y'all, those that especially came to calling in the lost, you know how I got my back and my hip were giving me so much trouble. I was walking like a 100-year-old man, and I was thinking I was going to have a hip replacement, and I was already beginning to see myself in a wheelchair. Y'all know that we're here. One night the pain was so bad I had to preach sitting in a chair. Now, she said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair, and he's going to steal the whole rest of your ministry. Man, that was another epiphany. That was a wake-up call. Now, you can't heal yourself. Have you figured that out yet? Okay? I have to start doing whatever I know that starts releasing the power of the Holy Spirit who was there the whole time. There the whole time to heal me and manifest that healing. But now I got to do my own teaching. It's a horrible thing when you have to do your own teaching. I had to start getting my mouth speaking God's word over myself. Did it get better, Brother Gary? No, it got worse. It nearly always gets worse when you start doing that. You've got a big ship going in a certain direction. It takes time to turn the Queen Mary. You're not going to turn that thing in a day. So anyway, I had to start confessing. And as you can tell, I'm much better now. I'm probably 90% back from where I was. Yeah, I went bowling Saturday night. Yes. Glory to God. Yeah, I went bowling. I only bowled a 74, but I went.
That's okay.
I used to have an average of 185. That was over 20 years ago. I mean, it used to just be so smooth and natural to me. And the first time I took that ball and I said, oh God, I'm going to fall down. But I went.
That's right.
I went, glory to God. I bowled. I had fun too. Nobody laughed too much. At least they were nice about it. You know. You know. Well, that's a far cry from a guy that couldn't even stand to preach 2.5 years ago. Now see, you can limit the Holy Spirit. You can limit through your own. If we don't learn how to turn to Him, I wonder how many. Okay, see. And at the same time, you've got to teach us with compassion. Because some people really have a hard time receiving their healing. Hey, nobody's trying to beat you up. We're trying to encourage you because healing is for you too, dear heart. He's no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for all. He shed that blood for everybody, not just a few. He took those stripes for all of us, not just a few. So you can limit. I mean, He still would have used me from the wheelchair, whatever I could do. But there's no point limiting what needs to be done. But in that case, I had to turn to Him and release His healing power to come into me. Well, what if you're called to be an evangelist? The denomination I grew up, you can be an evangelist without the power of God. And you can have the anointing for salvation. I'm thinking about Billy Graham. Probably has won more souls in our generation than any other man alive. And I don't remember any. They had no healing lines that I can remember. But man, they won them by the tens and hundreds of thousands. God will use you wherever you are. But can you take that as being the pinnacle? No. He would have liked to have got those people saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and got their bodies healed all in the same services. So as great as it was, it could have been bigger than that. I thank God for Billy Graham. You can tell that, right? Thank God for his integrity too. Hallelujah. Well, limiting God through self-effort. I'm hoping, I'm trying to be honest enough with you guys to encourage you to spend your own time doing the instructions on Dave's set of tapes, distinguishing God's voice. I know it gets frustrating. I know for those of you that have not yet started hearing him speak in English back to you, it gets really frustrating. So what? So what? College is frustrating. 4 years, you know. Anything worthwhile. Dieting is frustrating. I hate dieting. Exercise is, that's worse than the silly game. I hate it. I hate it. A lot of things worthwhile are not pleasant while you do them. But they sure bring the results. And if you can learn to hear him, boy, when those instructions come, see, that's, I tell people all the time, and you're learning more now why I say it. I say, hearing his instructions is only the first part of the battle. Obeying his instructions is just as hard, if not harder, than hearing them in the first place. So I just encourage you again, during this time of review, don't just let it be another series. Let it be a life-changing time. Do it again. See, I tried that the last time you taught it about distinguishing God's voice. I never did hear him. Get in there again. His words will become your life. It'll change your life. And then as you begin getting those instructions, I don't care if they seem like a silly game, do them anyway. Amen? Okay, we talked about two categories. One, where you limit him through your own physical effort. Okay? Two, where we limit him if we don't believe him and his power, like for healing. Now, this third area, it's cycling around again. Almost every time that he's had us do any kind of change, real change in direction in our ministry, it's almost always been coupled up with having to learn things that I did not want to have to go learn. I've used this example over the years. You know, some of you, he's been trying to get you to learn how to use a computer for 10 years. We hit a nerve. I'm getting some reactions. Some of you, he might have been trying to get you to go to Toastmasters. You know what that is? Where you learn how to speak in front of people without fear. You know? It could be a thousand things. Some of you, trying to get you to lose weight, get in shape. But I'm thinking in our case, in particular, regarding the ministry, having to research and find out how to create MP3s. I remember going all the way back to having to learn to do the computer. That was not easy. Sue can tell you. I'd go in that stupid one-eyed monster thing from hell. I'd go in there and read the instructions. Now, this is way back, you know. Read the instructions. Do this, okay. Do this, okay. Do this, okay. Press enter. Press enter. Crash. Got to reboot again, you know. My mind would get, I'd get so frustrated, I could not go another moment. I'd walk into the living room praying in tongues. I'd have to pray in tongues. I'd go talk to that thing. I'd say, "You are a machine. You will bow before me. You are going to obey me and serve me in this gospel." And here I am talking to inanimate objects now, see. What I'm trying to get across, these things are not always pie in the sky. Fall on me, blessings of the Holy Spirit. He is, but he's trying to get you to cooperate with him. And sometimes that stuff takes study, it takes going to school, it takes burning the midnight oil after you've put in a full day. It's not always real pleasant things, you know. But it's things that if he says to do it, we have nothing else to do but that. It becomes your life. Now, So anyway, we're going to have more on that, I think, at another time with better examples. But that is another way where we really limit him. Yes, sir. And then another one is just flat not obeying his voice without question. I'll tell you, I may or may not get to tell you much about this. There's a friend of mine in another, he's a missionary in another country. I'll just say it that way so it doesn't identify. What is today? Sunday. Saturday. I can't remember now. I think it was Friday morning. Might have been Saturday morning. I'm not sure yet. But whatever it was, I was doing other, I was real busy. I was doing stuff. No, I wasn't praying. I was just doing stuff. Probably in some measure of disobedience again. But anyway. And I heard just as clear, I heard that man's name. Just as. And thank God this time I
picked up the phone and I called him. Actually, I used Skype, but I called him. And I'm telling you, it was a God-ordained thing. Let me just put it this way. Through that telephone call, and it had to be made, not at that necessarily that precise moment, but it needed to be made that day. Some things happened. I had the answers to some things that he needed desperately. Things on my computer that I could send him and he'd have on his computer halfway around the world in a matter of a few moments. What if I didn't know how to do that? What if I didn't know it was possible to do that? What if I was, you know? He has you do things for a reason. And because I was able to get those things into his hands, it may mean more than $1 million for the man's ministry. More than a million. Comes from hearing, obeying. Not only give that man a call, that was part of it, but hearing and obeying. What year was it I started learning the computer, babe? Way back. In the 90s sometime. 93, 94. Way back. You know? All of that. See? So just know that it's a walk with the Lord. Yeah. And some of the things like the silly game, you go... You could have that attitude towards other things. I don't want to learn how to use a computer. He didn't ask you if you wanted to. You need a little bit of O-R-ing. You need a little bit of O-R-ing once in a while. I didn't ask you if you liked it. I didn't ask you, you know. I mean, you're going to do what I say? You're going to... Peter, you're going to be a martyr for me. What? This is not the plan I wished for my life. I don't remember asking you, Peter. You want it more? You want my best? Yes, sir. You're going to be a martyr for me. You're going to live to be old, but you're going to be a martyr for me. What about John? It's got nothing to do with you, Peter. I want you to learn the computer. I don't want to learn the computer. That's hard. Go bang your elbows against a tree when they lock up. You'll find out what hard is. You know. In case y'all weren't here that night, part of our finishing concrete in those days, you had to use a broom to do it. And I'd do it. We poured big slabs. We did a big part of the Liberty glass plant when it was Liberty out in Sepulpa. We didn't pour concrete by the square foot. We poured concrete by the square acre. Acres of concrete. When we was getting that ready, the sand that went on just forever, just getting all that sand fill in there, it was during August. You felt like you was working in the Mojave Desert. I bet the temperature on that sand was 135 degrees when we're out there. Well, that's hard. You don't talk to OR like that. Not if you want to work there. You know, well, Jesus, I don't want to learn the computer. And that's hard, Jesus. So, well, you don't have to do it for me. You asked what I wanted you to do. You asked what my plan was. And that's hard. I am learning, somebody said. Sue, I think I heard Sue say back there, time to man up. Hallelujah. All right.